This summer, we are exploring one of the most familiar and beloved passages in the entire Bible. Six verses that many, many believers have come to know by heart. The 23rd Psalm. It's a psalm of trust in times of uncertainty, of comfort in the midst of grief, and of courage in times of anxiety or danger or fear. It's a psalm that expresses radical trust and confidence in God's provision, protection, and care. Because the Lord is my shepherd. The image of the Lord as shepherd is one that must have come quite naturally to David, the psalmist and the shepherd king, who defended his flock from lions and bears long before he fought off Philistines or Amalekites. But by no means is this image unique to David or to this psalm. Most notably, we find it in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God promises to his people, who had been the victims of wicked shepherds and self-serving rulers, that he himself would shepherd his people and rescue them and care for them. And in John chapter 10, where Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd." It's one of seven or eight "I am" statements in John's gospel, in which Jesus identifies himself with the very God whose name is I Am. The shepherd of Psalm 23 and the good shepherd of John 10 are one and the same. This morning I want to focus just on the first line of this psalm and what it means to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." There are three things that stand out to me from the passages that we're going to look at today. The first is that the shepherd cares for his sheep. Second, the shepherd pursues his sheep. And finally, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So first of all, the shepherd cares for his sheep. This, of course, is what is at the forefront of the shepherd image in Psalm 23. The shepherd feeds and protects the flock, leading them to green pastures and beside still waters, watching over them with rod and staff in hand. According to Ezekiel 34, with the Lord as their shepherd, the sheep will live in safety. He will tend them in good and rich pastures. He will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. In John chapter 10, Jesus speaks of the relationship between the sheep and their shepherd. "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me," he says. They will recognize the voice of their shepherd and follow him. In verse 3, Jesus says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out to pasture." The sheep trust the shepherd because he cares for them, and they can depend on him. And as Jesus says in verse 28, "No one can snatch them out of my hand." Sharon M. Tan notes that this is a relationship between sheep and shepherd that is built over time, as the sheep learn to trust their shepherd. We all long to know and to be known by God, but learning to trust in his care is not always easy. I remember my wise seminary professor, John Weborg, who was raised on an eastern Nebraska farm, talking about God dealing with us as with spooked cattle. As sheep, too, we are often fearful and afraid. I think of that old hymn that pleads for grace to trust him more, or the man in the Gospels who cries out, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Well, that seems exactly right. Fitting for sheep learning to trust their shepherd's care. Though the shepherd's psalm never promises that nothing bad will ever happen, or that no harm will come to us, it does assure us that there is someone who cares and on whom we can depend. This is in contrast to those shepherds in our texts this morning who only care for themselves. As Philip Keller explains in his popular book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, the lot in life of any particular sheep depends greatly on the shepherd who owns it. Under one man, the sheep would struggle and starve and suffer endless hardship. In another's care, he says, they would flourish and thrive contentedly. It's why many believe that we ought to place the emphasis in this psalm's first verse the other way around. My shepherd is the Lord, the one who is trustworthy and faithful, dependable and caring. Not just in Israel, but throughout the ancient Near East, shepherd was a common royal or political image. National leaders were often cast metaphorically as shepherds of their people. The prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel spoke out against the shepherds of Israel, who had led them into national disaster and exile. Ezekiel accuses Israel's leaders of caring for, literally tending or shepherding, themselves rather than the flock under their care. You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, Ezekiel says, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Daniel Block comments that having leaders like this is worse than having no shepherd at all. Jesus in John chapter 10 makes similar accusations against the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees who led the Jewish people, calling them thieves and robbers, who come only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus claimed to be the good shepherd in John 10, and God's determination to shepherd his own people in Ezekiel 34 comes against the backdrop of these failed shepherds, who had abused their authority, failed in their responsibility. In a time when the leaders at the highest levels of our society thrive on dividing and dispersing, of devouring and dominating those under their care, the church's confession, "The Lord is my shepherd," is all that much more powerful. Our shepherd promises to gather those who have been scattered, to bring them together as one flock, under one shepherd. The shepherd cares for his sheep. Second, the shepherd pursues his sheep. Again, in Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, "I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." Jesus twice tells a memorable parable about a shepherd and a lost sheep. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them," he says. "Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.'" In Matthew's version, the parable concludes, "Truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep and about the 99 who never wandered off. The parable underscores the importance of each sheep to the shepherd, and the lengths he will go to return them safely to the fold. It's something that David, the psalmist, knew personally, as he recounted to King Saul how he would often pursue a lion or a bear who had carried off one of the flock, and at risk to his own life, rescue it from its mouth. I chose a song for the prelude this morning, whose words reference this parable and describes the lengths that God will go to bring his sheep safely home. It says, "There's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me." The shepherd is determined to pursue his sheep. Rabbi Harold Kushner notes how the Old Testament book of Numbers opens with a census of the people of Israel that spans several chapters. Modern readers tend to find it tedious. Scholars find the numbers unreliable. But ancient commentators observed, with deeper wisdom, how the shepherd of Israel so carefully numbered his flock to be sure that not one was missing. As Jesus concludes the parable in Matthew 18, he is not willing that one of these little ones should be lost. To say that the Lord is my shepherd is to say, in Philip Keller's words, that I am a cherished object of divine diligence, that God in Christ is deeply concerned about me, even me. Indeed, that he is deeply concerned about those whom I am tempted to despise or overlook. Be careful that you do not despise one of these little ones, Jesus says in the preface to the parable, as the self-righteous sit in judgment over Jesus' choice of company. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, the Bible tells us. But the shepherd came to seek and to save the lost. Finally, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In John 10, Jesus refers to the shepherd who risks his life, or puts his life on the line for the sheep. Like David turning to face the lion or the bear in defense of the flock, and in contrast to the hired hand, not personally invested in the sheep, who turns tail at the first sign of trouble. As David Lower writes, the hired hand cares ultimately for himself, while the good shepherd cares ultimately for the sheep. The hired hand is there to do a job. The good shepherd is there to protect, nurture, and deliver the sheep at all costs. The good shepherd cares for the sheep so much that no sacrifice is too great. So when Jesus speaks of himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, he has in mind his imminent death on the cross, a death that he faces freely and willingly because of his love for the flock. In verse 18, he says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." In John's gospel, Jesus is both the shepherd and the lamb. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," John the Baptist declares at Jesus' first appearance in the gospel. The one whose death on the cross occurs at the very hour the lambs for the Passover are being sacrificed in the temple, in remembrance of God's great deliverance of his people. The one who at a Passover meal with his disciples took bread and broke it and declared, "This is my body broken for you." And in the same way he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus declares, he has the power to take it up again. The same Lord who lays down his life is the Lord who is risen and who reigns, and who leads his people like a flock even today, who guides and protects them, tends them and feeds them, who binds up the injured and strengthens the weak and pursues the lost. This is the Lord who is my shepherd, now and always. Amen.